Well, I'm going to start a series. I've done this before, but I think a good one to get back to. And this is Finding God's Will for Your Life. You hear this a lot. You hear this concept a lot. And but I found a book by J.I. Packer, Guidance and Wisdom, where he begins to deal with this. And he, like me, takes kind of a dim view of this whole idea of people looking for some, I don't know, what do you call it, magic bullet, where now they know what they're supposed to do and where they're supposed to go. For the most part, God says, do a good thing. Find a place to serve, find a place to work that doesn't compromise your testimony, that gives you an opportunity to be active as a Christian and is, you know, a good place to work. So you can't make a wrong decision, you know, but what if I choose the wrong thing? You can't make a wrong decision if those things are right. Well, what if it doesn't work out? Then you find another job. That's the way these things work, you see. You know, we are influenced by the charismatic movement to where people are almost wanting some magic willow stick that's going to, we're looking for a house and we want to be led of God, you know. I don't think this is a good way to do it. I heard of this one lady who wanted to be led by God, so she had a sock drawer, different all color socks, but she never paired them up, so she just reached in and let be led by God. And so she would, most often she had a red and a blue sock that she would wear during the day. And the thing is, she looked goofy and actually was goofy. And this was not the leading of God at all. This was just, it's a divination gone wrong. Well, all divination is going wrong. But the point is that God has said, here are some rules. But unless you can go to the Word of God and find Jonah chapter 2 that says, get involved in retail sales, you know, you're just not going to find God's direct leading. So this is not about that finding that magical, mystical thing. I'd like for you to try to move that away. Now, does God not deal with this in interesting and special ways? Yes, he does. But that's the exception rather than the rule. And if there is a thing that gets into your head and you see nothing wrong with it, it can't be a demon telling you to do this. You know, it's not like torture your mother-in-law. God didn't send that. So if you find the thing that God can't, it's an idea that just popped into your head and you can't let it go, this may be God the Holy Spirit urging you to do something special. So finding God's will for your life, what does that mean? Well, first of all, number one, God is our guide. When a person becomes a Christian, he begins to desire to know God's will for his life. And there is very little doubt that God has a will for his life. The doubt is whether or not he will discover that will. Now, in Bible-believing churches, the people are taught to seek God's will for their lives. We have the song, guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I'm the pilgrim, you guide me. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me now and evermore. Now, liberal churches have cast a shadow of doubt about such things, but this study will seek to explore the finding of God's will. So the first thing we want to say is that God can and does guide. God has a plan for individuals. Now, his plan involves the whole creation. Ephesians 1, 10 and 11 goes into this. It says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. This is looking to the end and the millennial kingdom where he's gathered it all under Christ. Christ becomes the ruler, and he rules the whole planet Earth. Both which are in heaven, literally the heavens, and which are on earth, even in him. in whom also we have obtained an inheritance through Christ. We have an inheritance. Part of that inheritance will be part of the rulers of that kingdom will be on the throne with him, sort of the bride of Christ becoming the queen of the king. We being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will. So he's working all things to end up in the right place. But and that really includes the whole planet Earth. The liberals are always the ones that keep telling us about how we're destroying the planet and all the pollution and all the plastic and all this kind of stuff is just terrible. And I suppose in a lot of ways it is. But what is driving them, you see? There is this image somewhere in their thinking that the planet needs saved. Now, God understands this. Book of Revelation, God says he punishes those who destroy the earth. But God will take care of it, and God will save the earth. The earth will be turned back to a pristine, beautiful place, a Garden of Eden all over the world. Ephesians 3:11, according to the eternal purpose, which is purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so it is through him and by him and in him that these things are going to be accomplished. Now, his plan also includes the individual. And Paul is our example here. Acts 21:14. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, the will of the Lord be done. Paul is saying, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. And they kept saying, but the prophets are telling you that you'll be jailed, you'll be chained, you'll be handcuffed, you know. And he says, that doesn't matter. God seems to be leading me here. And so what was their conclusion? The will of God be done. The will of the Lord be done. And he seems to have determined that was the will of God for him. And then Acts 22:14, and he said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will and see that just one and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. And so God has chosen you to know his will. All right, let's go over to Acts 26, verses 16 to 19. Paul is accosted by Christ, but rise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, the vision of me, and of those things in which I will appear unto you. I'm not done giving you a message yet. Delivering thee from the people, delivering you from Israel, they are the people, and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. So he says they will not like what you're doing, but I'll protect you from them and send you to the Gentiles to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. He had the vision, God told him what to do, and he obeyed it. 1 Timothy 1:16, howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them, as an example to them, which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. We find the phrase, by the will of God, used in 1 Corinthians 1:1, 2 Corinthians 1:1, Ephesians 1:1, Colossians 1:1, and 2 Timothy 1:1. He introduces his epistles by saying that he was an apostle by the will of God. Then we need to understand, secondly, that God can communicate his plan to us. Now, sometimes it's just the general plan. Sometimes we are singled out specifically. I remember wrestling with this over and over again, that God was calling me to full-time work. I was still in high school, and then I started arguing against it. And And in prayer, I said, I know that I'm just thinking that to be really a dedicated Christian, I'm going to have to be a preacher. That's just me. This calling thing is just not real. And immediately, a question popped into my mind. Then what are you fighting against? And I went, uh-oh. It is real. And at that point, I gave up and I said, yes, Lord. So I thought at the time I was going to be a missionary in some foreign land. But he's given me the foreign land of Speedway, so not so foreign. God can communicate his plan to us. Sometimes it's personal. Sometimes it's very general. Now let's look at examples in the book of Acts. Acts 8, 26 and 29, the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, go toward the south, unto the city, south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. He doesn't tell him what he's going to do. He just says, go that way. Philip says, yes, sir. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. God wanted a witness to the Ethiopian eunuch. And he was taking Philip there where the chariot would stop. Acts 10, 19 and 20. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, get thee down, go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. You remember the story that he had that sheet thing that held by the corners, dropped down from heaven, and in it were unclean animals, unclean beasts that the Jews were not allowed to eat. And the command from God was, rise, kill, and eat. And he says, no, Lord. Always a contradiction in terms. Lord means master, and no means I'm not obeying the master. No, Lord. And he says, no, Lord, for I have never had anything unclean. Well, what God was telling him is, I'm going to have some unclean Gentiles calling for you to go with them and go into the house. And I'm telling you it's okay. So that was his special message. Acts 13, 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And this was calling them as missionaries. Acts 16, 6 and 7. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, they were come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. It had been closed because of the coronavirus. No, we don't know why it was closed, but they couldn't even go there, see. And so this was a negative will of God. God didn't want them there. In fact, he wanted them right where they were so they would cross over the Aegean Sea and go over into Philippi and Thessalonica and Berea. Acts 16, 6 and 7. No, I gave you that one. Acts 18, 9 and 10. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Be not afraid, but speak. Hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. Here was a special leading to speak up and not give in to fear. One of the things we ought to listen to today. But then, in a more general way, there are promises of guidance. Promises of guidance. And so I want you to take these, hold on to them, and recognize God has not set you adrift in a chaotic life, a chaotic world. He is moving you in a certain way. And as you take every step according to his will and word, you are going to be on the right path, even if you don't know which way you're going. He will take you, he will end your journey in the right place. Psalm 25, 8 to 12. Good and upright is the Lord. We understand that. He is good, he does the right things, he's upright. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. God is reaching out to sinners. God is urging them to repent. God takes this work upon him. He asks us to do it, but that's him reaching others through us, you see. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. The meek means you're subjecting yourself to proper authority. And so through the authorities above you, God leads you. Get your authorities' permission to do this or that, and you'll find God has been leading you. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. All the different ways you could walk, if you're walking his way, it's the way of mercy and truth, unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. You don't go off into sin, don't go off into selfishness, but do the work that he's called you to do in the way he wants you to do it, and you're on the right path. For his name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. So you start stepping out on the way, and he teaches you as you go. Psalm 32:8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. And the King James margin here says that the Hebrew literally says, I will counsel thee, mine eye shall be upon thee. We try to train our children to look at our face. When we were in a situation where we didn't like yelling at the kids, we didn't like saying, stop doing that, you know, restaurants and places where people went back in the day when people used to go to restaurants, you know, we would give them the look. And just between you and me, I actually practiced this look in the mirror. I didn't want to look goofy in there going, ha ha, look at that. No, I'm trying to be serious here, you know. So I tried to look serious. I tried to look not goofy, not overly serious. But I was looking straight at them. And when they were looking at me, they saw I was looking at them. And then I would say, you know, calm down. Maybe this, you know. Or come over here. So they knew when we were doing that. My wife and I had the opportunity to go down when I was in Denver studying at the seminary. We went down to, what was that? Was that?
I think it's La Junta.
La Junta. And they asked us to preach in a church there. So we did that. Long drive down there and a long drive back. And so as it turned out, she was playing the piano and I was preaching, leading the singing and then preaching, if I remember right. Which left our two children, my two oldest children, as kids in the pew with mom and dad not sitting by them. And I remember John, rascally John, he was sitting there and starting to act up and gave him the look. I think something was happening and I wasn't busy. I looked at him and I went, and he looked at me with a smile and went, because he knew I couldn't go get him, see? Things were such. Well, the fact is, he had to go home with us. And so we pulled off on the way there. It was, I think, kind of a closed gas station or something. We pulled off and got him out of the car, getting a spanking. Policeman came by, asked what was going on. And I said, well, at the church service, my son grinned and said he didn't have to obey me. He says, carry on, sir. And he got in the car and left. So he got the spanking, and he wished he had paid attention. See, the thing is that you can guide somebody with your eye if they're sensitive to that eye. And here's what he says, I will guide you with my eye. But what do we have to do? We have to be looking. We have to be sensitive to that. See. All right. Proverbs 3:6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Beautiful story of World War II, when Christian soldiers, United States soldiers, were captured by Germans. And so they thought, you know, this is going to be horrible, death camps and all this kind of stuff. And they're walking along, and one says to the other, yeah, but remember, Proverbs 3:5-6, we're to acknowledge God in all our ways. How are we supposed to acknowledge God right now? He said, let's sing a hymn. So they're just being led into captivity. And they started singing. Well, then German voices said, halt, you know, stop. And they came up and they looked at him and they said, were you singing? Yes, sir. Are you Christians? Yes. So are we. How about you take us in? And they handed them guns, turned around, and they marched them back to the American camp. There are untold blessings when we acknowledge God in all our ways. Wonderful story. True story. Isaiah 58:11. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought. Actually, droughts, meaning ongoing lack of water. Make fat thy bones. I'm a living example of fat bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters fail not. The waters don't deceive you. They don't lie. He says, I will guide you continually, and it will take you to a good place, a place where your soul could be satisfied. Romans, get to the New Testament, 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. This is the word metamorphosis. You know, like that ugly worm turns into a butterfly? Be metamorphosed, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, put to the test and prove, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The will of God here is obedience, doing the right thing, doing according to the word of God, not getting a certain job, going to a certain place. Colossians 1:9, for this cause we also, since the days we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you. And here's what the prayer was about, to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will, of what God wants, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. See, the more you understand God, the more you understand what he told you in his word, the more you are actually walking according to his will. And then Colossians 4:12, Epaphras, who is one of you from your church, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently, or striving, actually, fighting for you in prayers, that, and here's what he was praying, that you may stand perfect and complete, or filled, in all the will of God. Because the real problem comes not that we don't know the will of God, but we do know it and we're not willing to follow it. He says here that you may be stand perfect and be filled in all the will of God. So we begin by looking at this concept that God is our guide, and he can and does guide. So we'll continue this then week by week as God allows. Take that opportunity to examine this concept of following God's will.